I'll invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 17 tonight. Genesis 17. You'll just kind of keep that open there. We'll get there in a few moments. We're going to continue tonight with our series on the names of God. Just by way of review, we've only covered two names to this point, but the first name we looked at was Elohim, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And we realized together as we studied that name that it refers to God as being the creator, the covenant, promise-keeping God that He is. And then last week we looked at the name Adonai, the fact that God is master and He is Lord. And we looked at the section out of Genesis 15 where that name first occurs. And we once again discovered together that God is the complete possessor of all things. He owns all things. He is, as master and Lord, He has the rightful ownership of all things, including us. God requires complete submission as master and Lord. He is the master. We are the servant, and we need to be submissive to Him. And then finally, we looked at the idea that He deserves complete honor. As master and Lord, He is the one who is deserving of all praise, all glory, and all honor. And tonight, we're going to look at the name El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Let's first of all look at the meaning of El Shaddai. El Shaddai simply means mighty and all-sufficient. Mighty and all-sufficient. The name El Shaddai in our English translations usually appears as Almighty God or God Almighty. So if you see that combination in your English text, that is El Shaddai. As we looked at Elohim, the first part of that name, El, means powerful, mighty, or strong. That God is the mighty one, the powerful one, the strong one. El, translated as God, occurs over 200 times in the Old Testament. I'll give you a couple of examples here tonight out of those 200. Psalm 77 and verse 14 says, "Thou art the God," or "Thou art El, that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." Deuteronomy 3 and verse 24 says, "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what El is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might?" And certainly God as El, as God as the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One, He's not bound by natural laws, even as we'll see here tonight as we look at Genesis 17. He can exceed the natural laws of nature and do that which seems impossible and truly is impossible, humanly speaking. But He can do the supernatural. He is El. He is God. He is the Mighty One. And then we come to the name Shaddai, the second part, El Shaddai. Shaddai occurs 48 times in the Old Testament. 31 of those times we find the name Shaddai in the book of Job. Shaddai has two possible meanings. There's a great amount of debate among scholars as to the exact root of Shaddai. I'm going to give you both, and then I'm going to give you the one that I gravitate towards or lean towards here tonight. The first one is this, that Shaddai points to the omnipotence of God, particularly as it is translated in our English Bible as Almighty. We tend to think of God as a powerful God, which He is. He is powerful and can do all things that are in accordance with His word and His will. That's kind of the first idea. But if you think about it, it almost seems a bit redundant. It almost seems a bit repetitive if you take that flow of thought that El, being the Mighty One, Shaddai, being, again, the Mighty One, it's the Mighty, Mighty God, which certainly He is. But I think there may be another possible interpretation that many gravitate towards, and that is this. Shaddai is likely derived from the Hebrew word shad or shad, which means breast. Therefore, Shaddai would refer to one who nourishes and supplies. Particularly when we think of a mother with a young child, that she is supplying nourishment for that young child. She is supplying sustenance for that young child. And as if we take the word and link it all together, if we take El as the mighty or the powerful one, and we link it with Shaddai, it's the almighty powerful one who nourishes, supplies, or satisfies. He is the one who abundantly pours out or sheds forth sustenance and blessing. God is, in essence, then, the all-sufficient one, the all-bountiful one, as we'll see here tonight. I think G. Campbell Morgan helps us out and kind of ties all of this together when he says, the name or title El Shaddai is peculiarly suggestive, meaning quite literally, the mighty one of resource or sufficiency. We miss much of the beauty of our rendering God Almighty. The idea of almightiness is present, but it is not fully expressed in the word El. The word Shaddai goes further and suggests perfect supply and perfect comfort. We would reach the idea better by rendering God all-bountiful or God all-sufficient. To gather sustenance and consolation from the bosom of God is to be made strong for all the pilgrimage. And so, personally, I gravitate towards that second idea, that second interpretation of the word Shaddai, of God being the all-sufficient one. Therefore, the meaning that we started out with, the mighty, all-sufficient God, El Shaddai. Now, based on that meaning and some of that background, what's the significance of El Shaddai? First of all, tonight, as the mighty, all-sufficient one, God supplies what He has promised. As the mighty, all-sufficient one, God supplies what He has promised. Now, we'll go to our text here tonight. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. I think it'll help us just a little bit here tonight if we just take a step back through a few chapters in Genesis and kind of step through what God had promised to Abram. In Genesis 12:2, and you're welcome to follow along if you like. I'm going to go through these pretty rapidly, or you can just listen here tonight. But Genesis 12:2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God has made a covenant with Abram. He's made a promise to Abram. Abram, out of you, I'm going to make a great and mighty nation. He was promising to him a son, an heir, and from that son, that nation would come. Genesis 13 and verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Then we go to the text that we looked at last week in Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. If you remember, as we looked at last week, Abram has the idea of, Lord, I've got this servant. I've got this purchased slave. His name is Eliezer. How about him, Lord? You think maybe the heir will be him? You think it can come through him and my seed will be multiplied through him? And God tells Abram in that particular text, he says, no, Abram, no, it will come out of you. He uses the word, it will come from your own bowels. It'll come from your own body, Abram, your heir, and it will not be Eliezer. Well, time marches on. The faith of Abraham and Sarah grows weak. And often, like we are tempted to do, Abram and Sarah said, look, you know, if we're going to have an heir, obviously we've got to help God out here. God needs our help. Now, we're a little difficult on Abraham and Sarah, aren't we? But do we not often get to that point sometimes? Can you relate to what I'm saying here tonight? Do we not often kind of look at our circumstance and think, somehow God has left me alone. God has forgotten me. God's not coming through in His promise to me. Therefore, I need to help God out. Is that not ludicrous or what? I mean, that is just foolish for us to take that vantage point of thinking that we need to help God out. Yet we do. And that's exactly where Abram and Sarah were. And so they decided to come up with a fleshly oriented plan. And they said, okay, why don't we try and attempt to have a son through the handmaid Hagar. And that's exactly what they did. And Ishmael was born. And do you realize that it was 13 years after Ishmael was born that God's promise of a son came through? It was 25 years from the time that God promised a son to Abram and that son became a reality. But God came through on His promise. God executed what He said He would do. The mighty, all-sufficient God supplied what He said He would do in His promise. There are times I think our faith grows weak, like Abraham and Sarah's. We begin to wonder, is God going to come through on what He has promised? Is God really going to do it? And you know what? Maybe it's been a long time. And it seems like right now you're out in the middle of a desert. It's dry. It's barren. It doesn't seem like God's doing anything. And that may be exactly where Abram and Sarah felt. That may be exactly where they were in their heart and in their mind, wondering, God, are You really going to come through? Now you think about it. 25 years is a long time. 25 years of waiting and somewhere in the middle trying to figure it out on your own and help God and realizing that wasn't God's plan. That isn't what God wanted. And yet, God supplied what He promised. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if God makes a promise, He will supply. When God promises to meet our needs, He will supply. When God promises peace, He will supply. You know, when we think of Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. God supplies. God meets our needs. And when He makes a promise, the El Shaddai, the Almighty, All-Sufficient God, comes through and meets our needs. We'll see secondly tonight, as the mighty, all-sufficient one, God's resources are unlimited. God's resources are unlimited. I want to kind of march through just a select number of passages that I'll put up on the screen here tonight. This first one is Isaac blessing Jacob. And he says in Genesis 28 and verse 3, and God Almighty, and El Shaddai bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Well, how's that going to happen? It's through the resources of God. It's through the unlimited resources that God supplies. God Himself speaking to Jacob. And God said unto him in Genesis 35 and verse 11, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Again, how's that going to happen? It's the resources of El Shaddai, the Almighty, all-sufficient God. And we find in Jacob's final prophetic blessing towards Joseph in Genesis 49, he says, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Shaddai, the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. El Shaddai, the God who has abundant resources, will supply and meet your need. Psalm 91 in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Shaddai, the Almighty. The shadow, the protection, the shelter of God Almighty. He provides shelter for us. He provides protection. He has unlimited resources, even though our resources may certainly be limited. El Shaddai is the one who pours out both temporal and spiritual blessings. I think we have to realize tonight that the spiritual blessings, and really the fact that the El Shaddai is the all-sufficient God, is fully realized in and through Jesus Christ. For one cannot really appreciate and understand and comprehend and be a recipient of the all-sufficient blessings and resources of God apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. A couple of passages I want to draw your attention to. John chapter 4, and you don't necessarily need to turn there. But John chapter 4 is where Jesus meets with the woman at the well. And what does Jesus begin to describe to this woman? He begins to describe her to her a particular type of water in which she would never have to thirst again. And of course, he's not talking about physical water. He's talking about spiritual water, if you will, and that would well up into everlasting life. He is the one who completely and ultimately satisfies our spiritual needs. Through Him, we should never thirst again spiritually. Then we find in John chapter 6, where shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, in verses 32 to 35, Jesus says, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Speaking of Himself. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You talk about satisfaction. You talk about spiritual resources. Unlimited spiritual resources that God gives to us, that when we come to Him and we have a relationship with Him, that we'll never again be thirsty. We never again need to be hungry. Why? Because He supplies that through Himself as being the bread of life and the one who gives everlasting satisfaction to our thirst spiritually. We must know Jesus Christ. He is the all-sufficient one for our spiritual needs. But as each one of us, I think, could give testimony tonight, God is the all-sufficient one. His resources are unlimited in supplying our material, temporal needs as well. Undoubtedly, if we went around the room tonight and we just took time to give testimony, all of us, I would think, who have known the Lord for any length of time, could give testimony tonight to the fact of God has supplied my needs in specific ways. His resources are unlimited. Mine are limited. For most of us, we cannot claim unlimited resources here tonight. But God's certainly are. I think back to a story in our own family that God just in a very specific, supernatural way met a need in our life. Back in 2000, just prior to our son Jonathan being born, we were looking at the need to have a new vehicle. At that time, we just had a four-door sedan, and the back seat was just full of car seats. You know, they were three across. We had our fourth one on the way, and, you know, we thought about strapping Katie in the trunk, but, you know, decided that probably wasn't the greatest idea, you know. And so we decided, you know, we've got to have a little larger vehicle. And so we began praying about a van. And personally, I just began praying very, very specifically that God would just meet a need. And God just laid it on my heart just to pray for something that only God could do. And it was 4th of July of the year 2000, and as our family was together, I just kind of divulged to our family and my parents what I had been praying. And I had been given some counsel, and some would say maybe some misguided counsel, I don't know, but at that time the Ford Windstar van was just a good van. And so I began praying about that. I said, God, if to be your will, I just pray that you'd supply a Ford Windstar van. And God, you know, if possible, I pray that it would be a tan Windstar van. And God, you know, it's I would really like it to be under 50,000 miles used. If you could do that, if you could provide that resource, I can't provide that. But God, you know my resources are very limited, and I don't even know if such a thing is possible at all. But God, would you supply that? Well, it was, I believe, on the 8th of July, one of my fellow associate pastors there in the church, he was big into going to car auctions, and he kind of knew that I was looking for a vehicle. And he said, hey, Todd, why don't you just go with me? We'll just see what's there and kind of scope it out. And so we got there and began looking around, and I looked up and I thought, could it be? And I got a little closer, and there on the lot sat a 1997 Ford Windstar van. And what color was it? It was tan. It was. And I looked at the speedometer, and it was well under 50,000 miles. And I thought, God, are you playing with me here? You know, is this really real, God? And I thought, well, you know, it's here, but I could probably never afford this thing. You know, it's probably like just way out of my price range. And the guy I was with, his name was Ward. He said, Todd, he said, you never know. Just come back on Saturday morning and just see what happens. And so he came with me. And Kim and I had decided we only had a limited amount. And if the bidding started going over this amount, I just had to say, you know, God, it's not your will, and that's okay. And I'd never bid on anything in my life. I was a nervous wreck, you know. And it turned out there was between me and one other guy. And we were just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And all of a sudden, it just stopped after the last bid that I had given. And I'm just thinking, what's going on here? And the auctioneer said, sold to the gentleman right here. And he pointed right at me. And it was $1,500 under the maximum that we said that we would go to. And I remember after doing all the paperwork and so forth, I went back to my car. And I just cried. And I cried and I cried. And I said, God, you met resources that I couldn't. God, you supplied in a way that I couldn't. And you're a mighty God. You're an all everlasting, all sufficient God. And I couldn't wait to go home and tell my kids, because we'd all been praying about this together, and said, you know what, kids? There's an almighty God in heaven who's all sufficient. And He supplies our spiritual needs abundantly above all that we could ask or think. But He supplies our temporal material needs as well in a way that's absolutely incredible. My sort resources were limited. God's resources are unlimited. And folks, I don't know what your need is tonight. You may be looking at a circumstance. You may be looking at a context in which you say, my resources are inept at best. My resources are depleted. My resources amount to nothing. Yet God is the God who has all resources. He's the all-sufficient one. He is the almighty, all-sufficient God. And His resources are unlimited. And thirdly tonight, I want us to see that as the mighty, all-sufficient one, He is always sufficient and we are insufficient. He is always sufficient and we are insufficient. Job 37, 23 and 24, Job is being given some counsel by Elihu. And Elihu says this, touching the Shaddai, the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear Him. And notice this last part. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. What's Elihu saying there? And rightly so. He's saying, are you proud? Are you self-sufficient? God does not respect that. God does not have any regard for that. Because He is Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. And folks, far too many times in my own life, I like to think, I'm the sufficient one. I can do this. You know, God, I'm okay. And if I get in real trouble, I tell you what, I'll give you a call, I'll let you know, but I'm okay on my own. And folks, we're not okay on our own. We are inept. We are insufficient at best. And He is the all-sufficient one. Of course, I would think most of us are familiar tonight with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says, "And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that what? The power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For what? For when I am weak, then am I strong." Folks, when we come to the place where we say, God, I am absolutely insufficient, I am weak, I'm incapable, and I need You desperately, that's exactly where God wants us. Because when we are weak, then He is strong. And who gets the credit, and who gets the honor, and who gets the glory? He does. Because it's not us, but it's Him working through us. El Shaddai. One commentator said it this way, and I thought it was very good. It says, "It is when believers are out of answers, confidence, and strength, with nowhere else to turn but to God, that they are in a position to be most effective." And that is true. When we are looking nowhere but up, when we have nothing to fall back on but God, that's exactly where God wants us to be all the time. Leaning on the all-sufficient El Shaddai. And certainly, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but what? Our sufficiency is of God." That little phrase, "think anything as of ourselves. Think anything. It's the idea of consider, reason, calculate, credit to one's account. That we cannot reason or calculate, hey, I can do this. I'm sufficient. Because we're not. We're insufficient. But He is all sufficient. It could be tonight, that sitting here in this auditorium, if you were very transparent and very honest, you're facing a circumstance, a situation in your life right now where you would say, humanly speaking, I can't do this. I can't bear this. It's too much. You are insufficient, but He is all sufficient. It may be tonight that you would say, the burden is too great. I've borne it for too long. It's too much. You are insufficient. But He is all sufficient. It may be tonight that you would say, Pastor Todd, you don't know my situation. You just don't understand. It's impossible. I'm telling you here, it's impossible. I mean, absolutely, there's no way. I mean, I'm supposed to go back to college in a month. Do you understand that I need some money and I just don't have the money? I'm telling you, I don't know what God's will is for you, and I can't say for sure that it's His will that you absolutely go back to school. But if it is, He's the all-sufficient one. He will supply. Pastor Todd, you don't know my financial need with our home, with our family. I've lost my job. I desperately need a job. He is the all-sufficient one. Do you not think that at age 99, that Abram looked at his situation and said, impossible. No way can a child be born. No way can a son be born. But God did the impossible. You know, honestly, folks, I look around our buildings and our properties here, and we've recently done some evaluation of some needs that our building and our plant and our property has, and I look at that and I think, impossible. Humanly speaking, impossible. But I have an El Shaddai who's all sufficient, and it's not impossible with Him. It's not. He is the one who has unlimited resources. You may say, the opposition is formidable. The opposition is great. Whatever that opposition may be, it may be that you're facing great opposition at work. Something at school, that friends, others, that family members, that you're just facing constant opposition to living for the Lord. It's formidable. You are insufficient. But He is sufficient. You may say, the way is dark. The way is unclear. It's cloudy at best. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But I'm telling you tonight, God is all sufficient. You are insufficient. He is sufficient. You may be tonight, as you sit here in this pew, you are grappling with just a depth of disappointment, a depth of sadness in your heart tonight that is just weighing heavy on you. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there is an all-sufficient God in heaven. You are insufficient, and I am insufficient, but He is all-sufficient. His name is El Shaddai, the mighty, all-sufficient God. He is your God, and He's my God. And that mighty, all-sufficient God is the God who supplies what He's promised. If He's made a promise, He will come through. He will supply. He is the God who has resources that are unlimited. And He is a God who is sufficient, always sufficient, and we are insufficient. His name is El Shaddai. Father, I ask You tonight to help us understand and realize the gravity of what we've just looked at. Lord, help us to realize right now that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what context we find ourselves in life, no matter what impossibilities face us, no matter what needs are right in front of us, that You are the mighty, all-sufficient God. Father, I pray tonight that we would linger long on Your name. Lord, may we meditate upon it. May we take it through this evening and this week and next week. And may it become a reality in our life. May it just not be something that's a thought in our head, just something that we acknowledge mentally, but oh God, may it be something tonight that we truly grasp a hold of, that You are El Shaddai. You are the mighty, all-sufficient God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.